the Lord, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Redeemed Life Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Chris Dwelly, and I've got a great show for you today. We've got poetry by Versatile in our prophetic poetic spot, and we've got more gospel this week from none other than Randy Travis. What more could you ask for? Oh, that's right. I got a message for you that deals with those times when you have a hard time hearing the voice of God. So grab your Bibles, get comfortable being uncomfortable, and let's get to this. In our Christian artist spotlight this week, we have somebody that needs absolutely no introduction whatsoever, Mr. Randy Travis. He has been a multiple platinum recording artist in the world of country music and in the world of gospel music. And I'll tell you, this is absolutely one of my favorite songs that he's ever done. This is one of my favorite songs in general, Shout to the Lord.
Compares to the promise I have in you.
Man, I love that song. I'm not even going to lie. The tears were just flowing and my hands were just up in the air praising the Lord during that song. In our prophetic poetic spot, we have Versatile. Man, this guy's poetry is moving. Versatile has been around for, well, I don't know, forever, as far as I'm concerned. And he's a true master of his craft. Blending hip-hop and spoken word poetry, he's been revered for his innovative style and lyrical stylings for years. Here's Versatile with his piece, Stay the Course.
This next one is so soulful. Feel free to two-step this one out. Allow me to pose a question. How much time have you wasted? The end, I know you can taste it. Time is short, your life needs a facelift, a makeover for a higher power to take over. Opportunity doesn't necessarily knock. That's the sound of your heart racing against the clock. The love dub versus the tick and the tock. Too nervous to commit to your purpose, yet fearing your existence is worthless. Would you rather die comfortable or die trying? Die fighting or die lying to yourself? Focused on self, putting the big picture on the shelf. Restless when the dream dies. Welcome to mental hell. Destiny is where heaven lies. But it's not the norm. It is rather the eye of the storm. The mission will abort unless we stay the course. Make sure you weigh the cost. My people, time is short. The mission will abort unless we stay the course. Make sure you weigh the cost. My people, time is short. But there's an answer to the cancer, an antidote for those without hope, a remedy for the enemy, a map for the maze, a manual for what can't be handled, a light for the night. If there's a wrong, there's gotta be a right. There's gotta be a life, for you were born for a reason. Since a fetus, it's been your season. God's mercy has kept you. His love intercepts you every time death tests you. Don't ignore here and now until your legacy has left you. The only reason you're still alive is because destiny hasn't met you. This is not about what feels good. It's about what is written on the tablet of your existence. To what have you been sentenced? You see, we were all predestined from the beginning. The mission will abort unless we stay the course. My people, time is short. Make sure you weigh the cost. The mission will abort unless we stay the course. My people, time is short. Make sure you weigh the cost. So when God offers you, you, will you accept you and what you will have to do? Will his plan govern your lifespan? Are you afraid of where you might land? In order to please God, you may have to fight man. When your approval rating plummets, will you still stand at the summit or dumb down your message when devils dangle the ducats? Will you ride the truth until you kick the bucket? Will you give people what they need or only share it if they love it? They say life just starts and stops. No, it doesn't. We serve a jealous God. He wants all or nothing. He gave us life. We gotta give him something. The mission will abort unless we stay the course. Make sure you weigh the cost. My people, time is short. The mission will abort unless we stay the course. Make sure you weigh the cost. My people, time is short.
So I was witnessing to this guy the other day, and he asked me this question that really made me think before I had to answer him. And I had to stop and I had to think before I answered. And because the answer to this question could have had one of those make or break consequences on whether or not this guy continued to seek God's salvation. What was his question? He simply looked me in the eyes and he asked me, "What do you do when you stop hearing God?" And I could feel the sincerity and the desperation for truth in his question. I could also tell that it had been a while since he'd really heard from God. Now, it would have been really easy for me to just tell him to press in a little bit more. It would have been really easy for me to tell him to just pray earnestly and dig deep and reach down. But the truth of the matter was there was so many more deeper issues than that were causing him to not hear God's voice anymore. The first thing that we, and I do say we because we've all gone through this at one time or another, the first thing that we need to do is come to the realization that God is sovereign, and he may choose to be silent for a season in our lives. This can happen for a variety of reasons, but most often it's because we need to learn to become completely dependent on him and trust him and trust in his timing. So I asked my new friend if he'd been trusting God completely with everything that was in his life, and he had to admit that he hadn't. He'd been trying to do things on his own, he'd been trying to do everything on his own, and he admitted that he really was drifting away from Jesus, that he hadn't been going to church, he hadn't been reading his Bible, and he was drifting away. This is the first step to getting back on track. See, Jesus is Lord and Savior over your whole life. Not just the parts of it that you choose to allow him to be. He's very patient, and God can outwait you every single time. So examine yourself and take a truthful look at your life and see what, if anything, is holding you away from the presence of God. You have to believe that God wants to talk to you, and he wants to communicate with you, and he wants to speak with you. If you don't believe that God wants to speak with you, it's probably that, you know, you're likely to not hear his still small voice. The key here is that you expect him to speak to you. David said in Psalm 5:3, "O Lord, in the morning you will hear my voice. In the morning I will direct my prayer to you, and I will watch expectantly." The Holy Spirit lives inside you, and he may be speaking to you a lot more than you realize he does. Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you," which is John 14:26. Know what God's voice sounds like, or more importantly, know how God communicates with us. Habakkuk knew the sound of God speaking to him. If you look in Habakkuk 2:2, it shows that he knew what God's voice sounded like. Elijah described it as a still small voice in 1 Kings 19:12. I had always listened for that inner audible voice, and God does speak that way sometimes. However, I found that usually God's voice comes in these spontaneous thoughts and in visions and feelings and impressions that he puts more on my heart than he does in my ears. For example, have you ever just been, say, sitting in your living room and had a thought come to your mind to pray for someone? Do you believe that was God telling you to pray? What did God's voice sound like? Was it an audible voice, or was it a spontaneous thought that popped into your mind? Experience indicates that we perceive spirit-level communication as spontaneous thoughts, impressions, and visions, and Scripture confirms this in many different ways. For example, one definition of paga, which is the Hebrew word for intercession, is a chance encounter or an accidental intersecting. When God lays people on our hearts, he does this through paga, a chance encounter thought accidentally, envision me doing air quotes there, intersecting our minds. Therefore, when you want to hear from God, tune into the chance encounter, our spontaneous thoughts, and tune out the idea that you need to hear an audible, "Hey Chris, go do this." Again, I asked my new friend if he'd been looking for a bright neon sign, or had he or was he allowing God to prick his heart? And again, he admitted he was listening for God's audible voice. Position your heart to hear that still small voice. Jesus himself said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And that's John 10:27. We have to do our part, and that's to position our hearts to hear that still small voice, or to recognize the other way which God communicates with us. And God can speak to us in many different ways, and we're going to go over all that stuff in another podcast. Practice the presence of God. Cultivate an awareness in the Holy Spirit, that in this awareness that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and he truly desires to fellowship with you on a daily basis. Pray that he will make you sensitive to his Spirit and to his voice. A big part of the problem when we can't hear God is that we don't allow ourselves to be still long enough to hear God's answer. We live in a world that causes sensory overload, and if we don't have our phone in our hand or our computer in front of us or music in our ears, chances are we're probably sleeping. Now don't laugh. How many times last week did you check your Facebook or your Twitter while you were sitting on a pew in church? Habakkuk said, "I will stand on my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what you will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved." And that's Habakkuk 2:1. Habakkuk knew that to hear God's quiet, inner, spontaneous thoughts, he had to first go to a quiet place and still his own thoughts and emotions. Psalm 46:10 encourages us to be still and know that he is God. There is a deep inner knowing, or a spontaneous flow again, in our spirits that each of us can experience when we quiet our flesh and we quiet our minds. And if we aren't still, the only thing that we'll sense is our own thoughts. Many people talk to God, but they don't stop to listen, or they don't develop listening skills. They talk at God. They don't really talk with God, and they don't listen whatsoever. Listening truly is a skill that you can learn, whether you're in your natural relationships or in your spiritual relationships with God. You need to have an ear to hear the Holy Spirit. And that may mean training your spiritual ears to recognize the ways that God speaks to you. Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing." Matthew 13:9. Solomon prayed that God would give him a hearing heart. 1 Kings 3:9. Many translations say understanding heart in that verse, but the Hebrew word translated understanding in that verse is shama, which translates to hear, to understand, to listen, or obey. Pray that God will give you a hearing heart, then listen and obey. We need to fellowship more with the Holy Spirit. This is fundamental in being able to listen and to hear God's voice. If you want to hear from God more clearly, spend more time with him in his word. Paul told his spiritual son Timothy, "All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And that's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Knowing the word guards us from deception and from falling into these traps of listening to other voices, even following vain imaginations. If you seek God, you will hear his voice. You don't have to be in a quiet room to hear the voice of God. Your soul just needs to be quiet and focused on him. Let your spirit dominate. Listen with spiritual ears. You can hear him. When I asked my new friend if he'd been still so he could hear that God's voice, you know, he conceded and said that his life has been so hectic with his new job and his new baby that he really hasn't had a free minute to quiet himself down and just listen to what it is that God wanted. You know, another thing that is really, really important when it comes to hearing God's voice is journaling and writing down your prayers and God's answers. And this brings out this great freedom in hearing God's voice. Again, I'm going to go back to Habakkuk again. God told Habakkuk to record the vision, Habakkuk 2 and 2. This was not an isolated command. The scriptures record many examples of individuals' prayers and God's replies. The Psalms, many of the prophets, revelations. I've heard this process called two-way journaling, and I personally have found it extremely helpful for clearly discerning God's spontaneous flow in my life. Because as I write, I'm able to write in faith for long periods of time, simply believing that God's talking to me. I don't judge what I write down, I just write it down. If it pops into my head, it goes on the paper. Now, I know that what I believe, I know what I'm writing down and what I believe I've received from God, and I know these things need to be tested. However, testing involves doubt, and doubt blocks divine communication, so I don't want to test things while I'm receiving things. With journaling, you can receive in faith, knowing that when the flow has ended, I can go back to my Bible and I can examine each of these things carefully, piece by piece, making sure that it lines up with God's Word. You'll be amazed when you journal. Might seem silly, or it just might seem absolutely ridiculous at first, but don't worry about that. Remind yourself that this is a biblical thing, and it's a biblical concept, and that God is present speaking to you. Relax. When we stop doing life and enter into His rest, God is free to move and talk in your spirit. Hebrews 4 and 10. Sit back comfortably in your favorite chair, take out a pen and paper, maybe your computer, whichever one works best for you, smile, and just turn your attention to the Lord. Start praising Him and seeking His face. Spend some time writing down your questions for Him, and after you write down the questions for Him, become still. Fix your mind on Jesus. Pretty soon you're going to notice that you have these wonderful thoughts in your head and these feelings in your heart. Don't doubt it. Just write it down. Later, as you read through your journaling, you're going to realize that you're blessed to be, and you'll see these conversations that you're truly having with God. As my visit with my new friend that I'd been witnessing to came to a close, I told him knowing God through the Bible is a vital foundation for hearing His voice, and for hearing it in your heart. So you have to have a solid commitment to knowing and obeying the scriptures. I told him it's also very important for your growth and your safety to be related to solid spiritual counselors. I told him to find a pastor or a minister that is grounded in God's biblical truth. Gather together with other like-minded believers, and don't be afraid to ask for help and ask questions. And as we parted ways with a handshake and a brotherly hug, I know that God talked to him that day because I felt convicted too. I'm very blessed to have met my new friend that day, and I plan on keeping in touch with him. But I'm just as blessed knowing that each and every one of you listening this week hear God through me, His humble servant.